Were you studying?
Yeah.
Torah Shraga?
Yeah.
Very nice. See, if some of your teachers are probably my students as well.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, today is Sunday, March, April 21st, 2013. I said March because the weather is March-like.
Yeah.
And looks like it stopped raining for a while, and they say tomorrow it might rain a little, but by tomorrow night, Tuesday, Wednesday, back to normal. Let me say hello to all those in front of me and the many that are listening across the wide expanse of this great world. Yossi Azoz, I want to thank him. He did some research and he reaches the conclusion, which I think is correct, that Reb Chaim Volozhin's last name was, the name that they gave him, Rabinovich, is not correct, and it's, the name is Yitzchakin. His father was Yitzchak, son of Yitzchak, and that's the name that Reb Chaim Volozhin took. So in class we refer to him as Reb Chaim Volozhin, like everybody does, but technically speaking, it later became Reb Chaim Yitzchakin. And the book that came out about Lithuanian Jewry, which is a fascinating volume, I'm well into it now. And I can see where I'm a Litvak as well, and I totally agree with everything I'm reading there. It's by Rabbi Beryl Wine and Rabbi Warren Goldstein, the chief rabbi of South Africa. And there, it's evidently an error that they refer to Reb Chaim Volozhin as Reb Chaim Rabinovich, that probably is a fallout from Reb Chaim Rabinovich, who was Reb Chaim Telzer, who was the Telzer Rosh Yeshiva. Be it as it may, I want to tell you something very interesting. I'm going to begin this year, and I had planned this all along, and I'm going to very shortly be involved with Tzvi Pesach Frank. This past week, less than a week ago, his last surviving child passed away. Reb Avram Frank. Reb Tzvi Pesach had 13 children. I believe 10 survived to, adulthood. And Reb Avraham, who I knew quite well, he davened in the shul where my family living near me is very active. My son-in-law is the president, the head gabbai, bottle washer, etc. My grandchildren are very active. My grandchild is in Bal Kore there, and they're all Balei Tefillah there. And my grandchildren have good voices, unlike their grandfather. And the Reb Avraham passed away this week. Very fascinating individual. He paralleled Reb Ephraim Schach. They were very close. They used to sit next to me in the shul whenever I davened there. And they were both sons of great gedolim, but they both grew up at the period of the founding of the state. And Reb Avraham, as he said, would tell me his father made his peace with the fact that he wouldn't be a great learner, but he joined the Palmach, the Haganah, the Palmach, and then went on to do something amazing, which he won many awards for. In order to build guns, you need kvitzim. Kvitzim in English, what's the word? A kvitz. I'm losing my English. A spiral, a little metal thing that kvitzim. Yeah, how would you say that in English? No, you're all looking at me. Kvitzim in a gun, and to work a gun, to work almost anything you need. Springs. So he opened up a factory for springs for the Haganah, and that went on to become a very, very big factory that did wonders for the Israeli defense and the Israeli defense production. And he ran it for many years. His son-in-law today expanded it. It's a very big factory. But what's amazing about Reb Avraham, if you ever met anyone who worked for him, he had over 100 employees when they were working full-time for the government, and everyone praised him to the sky. This was a Choshen Mishpat Jew in the full sense of the word. So let me dedicate today's shiur to the memory of Reb Avraham Frank. Zecher Tzadik Lebracha. His daughter-in-law happens to have been my student at the Mechala. She's a Vertica, and her father was a Chavei Knesset, was Rav Avram Vertica, was Poli Agudat Yisrael, the Gera Chassid, the Vertica family, and she was my student at Mechala, and that's his daughter-in-law. And her daughter married someone from England. I saw someone staring at me yesterday afternoon at the Mincha, and in the house, and I, you know, you daven Mincha, because many Yisrael is to read the Torah three times when you move it, so you have Monday, Thursday, Shabbos, Mincha. So I saw this person staring at me, and I recognized him, that I knew him from Hendon. A few years ago, I spent a month in England, and he's from that Kehila, so it's fascinating. And there are a lot of Franks in America. From what I gather out of the 10 children who survived, the majority wound up in America, and the most famous, you all know, the Sachs family from Hannah Sachs, for whom the school is named in Chicago. She is a daughter of Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank, and Reb Yonatan Sachs, who just deserted YU to take over Landa, is a great-grandson of Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank. So that's for your edification. Now, we're dealing here with the Kuntres of the Shach. I gave you the source last week. Kuntres on Psak Halacha. How do we paskin? And when it comes to Psak, there's so much involved beyond the black and white of the letter of the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam. And we saw many different attributes. For instance, Godol versus a Katan. What do you mean by someone who's great, someone who's small? Could very well be it has to do with the amount of students they have, which again shows you the importance of teaching, of Torah, of that we say in our prayer time and again, Lirot banim uvenei banim oskim b'torah v'mitzvot, La'asot v'divrei Torah tzeyotzeinu v'tzeyotzeimcha Beit Yisrael. And a Rebbe who raises Talmidim, he is more important than a Rebbe who doesn't have Talmidim. We saw many factors in Psak, subjective factors. Hepsid Merubah, Archim, and again, you have to be part of the people, you have to understand what Hepsid Merubah means. If you don't live among the people, these concepts will be alien to you. If someone was raised in a very wealthy home, and all his life he's surrounded by wealth, he's not going to be able to paskin properly. But if someone is a posek and you get involved with Hefzit Merubah, Erev Shabbos, guests are coming, Kovet Shabbos and Yom Tov, and everything we spoke about last week. What's interesting, and I add a postscript here, this may explain to you the concept of Galus, Arayin Gein in Galus. If you recall my lectures about 10 years ago in the Monday class, or maybe more than 10 years ago, when I spoke about the history of Torah in modern times, so we spoke about the Vilna Gaon, and the Vilna Gaon leaves Vilna, and he wanders throughout Europe. And everyone wonders, why did the Vilna Gaon leave Europe? Why did he wander? The Vilna Gaon, every moment was precious to him. And we explained the concept of Arayin Gein in Galus, that a Jew has to experience poverty and being anonymous, and to use this word, a dafalgrin, he has to wander and suffer, and that turns him into a better Jew. I might add a postscript that for someone who's going to be a Hasidic Rebbe, or a Rosh Yeshiva, or a Dayan, this is a very important concept, Arayin Gein in Galus. Why? Because when you're a famous person, when you're a famous rabbi, people run after you, people throw money at you. Chassidic Rebbeim, I don't have to tell you, the Belzer Rebbe just went to Belz to visit the graves of the previous Belzer Rebbeim. If you follow the website, how much critique there is, that the Chassidim went, they spent $800 for the plane trip, where did they get so much money? The Rebbe davened in one of these big vans, not at the Rebbe, traveled, I should say, on the ground in one of these big luxurious vans. What do they call them? These vans that you can go away on vacation and have your whole house with you. Well, is there a word for them, a special word? The luxury van, a vacation van. You know, like Hollywood stars have. And they got one for the Rebbe, and everyone is complaining. But I'll tell you very simply that if you come to the Belzer Rebbe with a Shaila, if this is the way he was raised in Malchut, he's not going to be able to paskin properly. If he went into Golis for a few years, okay, then he can paskin properly. And you follow? This is, what don't you follow?
You're giving us a revisionist understanding from a Hasidic question.
Okay, well, that's like
to quote Rav Kepa to Rav Kepa, the reason he went to Golis, quote unquote, was to go the to village. The search out documents.
No, that's one of the theories. I gave many theories. That's Joe Liebman's theory. I gave many theories. But I want to tell you, at Ein Gein in Golis, it's not a bad idea if you're going to become the Belzer Rebbe or the Vilna Gaon or become a great posek. You have to know the way the people live. And this is why with the army, with all that said and done, and the whole debate going on, a guy named Rakefet wrote a letter to the committee that's meeting on what to do with the army, and I wrote, the greatest mistake you can make is to exempt 1,800 yeshiva fellas from the army every year. Why? Because you want to exempt the elite. The elite are going to go on to become the dayanim, the rabbanim, the poskim, the rashi yeshiva. And I quoted Divrei Torah to them, where the Ribbono Shel Olam says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Lech reid ki shichetamcha. Moshe was up with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you leave the people, shichetamcha. They rebel. They are sinful. They need leadership. You have to understand the people. These 1,800 dafka have to be in the army because they're going to be the leaders afterwards. Bin dafarein gein in Golis. Then they'll understand the people and be good leaders and be able to pass in a proper shayla. And
now, I
wrote to the person he appointed to be on the committee. It's exactly who I told it to. But I appoint you a committee of one to tell Naftali Bennett that Rakefet would like to speak to him. Believe me. But I know how much influence Rakefet has. So
I can get you to somebody else, but not Naftali Bennett, within the
I got this on very high there. He's on the committee, actually, or Ari Uri Orbach. But beside that,
very nice guy.
Okay, everyone's a nice guy till you need a favor from them. But I don't need a favor. I just want them to understand what life is about, what Torah is about. Okay, but that's a different story. Now, also, we saw another concept last week that's very important, the concept of the Mura D'Altra. And this is a concept we've lost today. It could be that for the immediate future, this concept will not come back. Certainly in America, it's not going to come back. I'll talk about it in the Monday class a year or two from now, but the Rosh Yeshiva have taken over today. Most people have a semi-cynical attitude to practicing rabbis. And the nature of the rabbinate is such today that it doesn't allow a rabbi to become a gadol b'Torah. In other words, in Europe, you became a shtat rav, what did they expect you to do? To sit and learn the paskin shilas. Today, you become a rabbi, you have to have pastoral skills, you have to have sermonic skills, you have to have political skills, you have to be an actor, which is very important. And when do you sit and learn and become a gadol b'Torah? Most rabbanim, if they can keep up with it, davening up a daf yomi, and I don't want to translate what I just said, but you understand what I'm saying. If they can daven up a daf yomi, that's a fabulous achievement. And this is true about the rabbinate. There's no way to escape it. The Rav cried about it. He said, had I remained, there's a talk he gave in 56, which I did in the Kollel about 20 plus years ago. I did it in English, he did it in Yiddish, a fabulous talk on the American rabbinate. So the Rav said, why you redeemed me? And he said, why? That I remained in the rabbinate, who had time to learn. And he says, everything you do is a mitzvah, a big mitzvah, but it takes all your time. And he says, thank God, when yeshiva took me and had me start teaching, it returned me to learning full-time, willy-nilly, whether I liked it or not. I had to face a class, and I had to be prepared, and I had to answer questions, and I had to think about the questions they asked. So it's a nice thought from the Rav. But at one time, the Morah D'Atra, and this is what I showed you last week, we ended off the shiur, that just imagine there was a minhag lahakel. A new Rav comes in, he's machmir on the shaila. Nope, some yenta start complaining, what a machmir the rabbi is. You tell them, be quiet, he's the Rav. But I showed you the shach, there was a minhag lahachmir. And a new Rav comes in, and he's mekil. We got to listen to the new Rav. The Balabatim are complaining. Hold on, Dan. The Balabatim are complaining. Ooh, this Rav is a mekil, a kaldat. He's from Chovevei Torah. What's going on here? They're yelling, they're shouting. It's Heschel Rosen Goldwasser, Rabbi Heschel Goldwasser. And they're yelling and shouting, why can't he be like Rabbi Michael Broad? Why does he have to be like Rabbi Heschel Goldwasser? And you tell him, be quiet, he's the Rav now, Morah D'Atra. Very important. Okay, in a second we're going to go further. Very important shiur today. Daniel, yeah.
And you comment on the Rav. Didn't you tell us last week that the Rav, the students started calling the Rav because he wanted to be president?
No, what happened was, I very briefly, by the way, I have to make myself clear, I got an email that, hold off, I got an email that people listening around the world might have been confused. I used the word Reb Moshe, they didn't know what Reb Moshe meant. But anyway, let me make myself clear. The Rav, it's absolutely true, wanted to be president of YU. You'd have to believe Rakefet. Today, everyone, last night I became a hero. My grandsons called me. Everyone that suddenly, you know what I'm talking about. They showed on the Israeli TV, on the main channel, Channel 1, the documentary on the Rav. Am I right or wrong?
And you were there.
Baruch Hashem, I hope I was there. But I got criticisms too, certain things that were said in the documentary. Why didn't I correct the producer? I told him I couldn't interfere. Once I found the producer, and once I got $1 million at that point...
No, what they showed last night on television was not the DVD.
What they show?
What, last night it was about Maimonides School with different people being interviewed with a yoga with about 3 or 4 times.
So one second. They took it out of the documentary.
Is that what they did?
I don't know. I didn't see it. I haven't watched television.
I saw the documentary.
Did they mention about the Voldemort?
This was totally new stuff. They had his sister a number of times, and they had Ram, and they had...
That's from the documentary. That's all from the documentary. They pulled it out of the documentary. Take my word, they couldn't have the sister with new stuff unless he revealed stuff that was not the documentary. And I didn't see it, so I can't comment. But I got criticism already on Reb Aaron Cutler, something there with Reb Aaron Cutler. Anyway, so Mazan Gesund, I haven't watched television, you know, from Gush Katif. You know why I haven't watched. Let me say a Maimon Chazal. Ein Adoy Meshmiel L'Riyah. That I was so aggravated with Gush Katif, I still can't forgive Agudat Yisrael how they enabled. I don't want to mention his name, even if I mention his name, I have the same shame with Shem Yerkov. It was so aggravating to see what they did to 25,000 Jews, many of whom I know personally, who 3 generations, I know grandparents, parents, grandchildren, and pulled them out. I never watched television again afterwards. All my news I get from the radio. Today I'm computer-wise. Computer's great. You get all the news you want. What do you have to do? In 5 minutes, you got the whole world.
You know Mark Lona?
I sure do. Yeah, I know what he's doing.
So
good
what
things.
They showed yesterday, Tolba Feldshaw was the narrator.
That's from the documentary.
Peter Mikkel was the voice of the rock.
That's from the documentary. What do you want?
Peter
Mikkel. They pulled it out of the documentary.
And they called the rock 3 times. They said, Joseph.
Joseph, that's chutzpah. But let it be. The Rav wouldn't have minded. He would have said, Nish Joseph, Bedel, Rufmir Bedel. Okay. You should know that Shabbos, Rabbi Yaakov Meir Soloveitchik had his 5th child, and it's his 4th son, and he named the kid Yosef Dov. And he said to Irwin Shapiro on Shabbos in Kehilat Jeshurun, Irwin, you should know, I look forward to calling my son Beryl. You follow? Because the family always called the Rav Beryl. So it's a beautiful barrel. Halavaya should be like the original barrel, and even more, Be'ezrat Hashem. Now, when all is said and done, gentlemen, there's something in the Shach that is very revealing and is the heart of Pesach, and I want to zero in on it. It's Sif Dalid in the Kuntres of Kitzur Hora'ah Be'isa V'heta of the Shach. And the Shach says, you know, all these klalim that I'm putting down, and we mentioned these the Oraita L'chumri, the Rabban L'chuli, we're going to spend a few weeks on that, but we mentioned all the klalim, Shat HaDachak, Archim are coming guests, there's no time to do new chicken soup, drop of milk fell in, Shabbos and Yantif a half hour away, no time to recook. All these klalim and the Yesh Omrim and everything we spoke about 2 weeks ago, all these klalim at times can be pushed aside. And this is up to the posek. Sometimes they're very pressing circumstances. And you have to take a dat yachid. You have to put together some snifim. You have to build a tshuva, which perhaps, in a certain sense, is not mainstream, but there's a reason for it. Jesham Ezet Sad Otam. And this is up to the posek. And here I want to tell you an interesting story from my life. It sounds like a joke. It may be. Then I'm going to give you a serious example. Some of you know that, I guess due to my publications, I've gotten a lot of invitations. I've been all over the world. So I wind up in a very fancy area in the United States. And in this shul, there are three rabbis. The main rabbi, my student. The assistant rabbi, my student. The student rabbi, one of the top students in this kollel, his picture is on this cup that he made for me. I come to the community. The first thing the two junior rabbis tell me, Rabbi, you should know, Rebbe, you should know, you can't eat in the chief rabbi's house. Wife is not reliable. It was his wife at that time, not anymore. But that's my greeting when I come to the community. I spend a long few days there with Shavuos, Shabbos, Baruch Hashem, do what I have to do. When I left the community, I said to the two junior rabbis, I said, it's unbelievable. I come to this community, there's an Orthodox rabbi, a conservative rabbi, and a Reform rabbi, all my students. I said, the chief rabbi is talking about Judaism as a civilization. The minute I hear that, I get frightened. It's Mordechai Kaplan. I said, that's Reform. I said, the student rabbi, all right, you're from Lakewood originally. We share a lot in common. I can still say you're Orthodox. Then I turn to the middle rabbi and I say, you have a viewpoint. If you find one shitad de chuya, you can paskin like that. I said, if you do it occasionally, it's all right. But if you do it all the time, you're a good conservative rabbi. So we all had a good laugh. You know, it was in good spirit. But he always had the point of view, oh, Rebbe, you told us that. I said, yeah, I mentioned that, sure, but that's for abnormal circumstances. It's not the heart of Pesach. But you have to understand that at times, the halacha, interacting with life, we have to paskin within the halachic context, but we can be samach on a shita d'chuya or putting together snifim. And here I'll give you a classic example. And this is what was so amazing to me, that when my children told me Rav Avraham Frank died, and here I knew Sunday I'm going to talk about his father, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. I spoke about this years ago in the context of the Holocaust. The Holocaust left us with tremendous problems of the most difficult halachic areas. Many people survived. People were widowed. Only one problem. They had no bodies of their late husbands. So they brought proof, and whatever proof they brought, that the husband was seen online waiting to go into the crematorium. Well, if you know Cheter Aguna, if you've read the Rakofet Aron, I think it's Chelik Bet, I have a major piece there in Reb Yitzchok Chanan, Specter, and how we paskin to be matir in Aguna. But if someone is seen waiting online, you can say Trei Rube, there are two majorities here, Sveik Sveika. Why? Majority of people waiting in line to go into the crematorium did not survive. Second majority, if 2-3 years have gone by, it's the it's Reb Lezer Mevadun, it's the famous Avad Zichro, that had he survived, he would have contacted his family by now. The fact he didn't contact his family shows that he perished. So you have two robes, and Trei Rube, you can be mater, and people got heterim. Many remarried, many had children. Some of you may be the grandchildren of women who got a heter to remarry after the Holocaust. Now, there's only one problem. Heter aguna is based upon assumption. If you have a body, you don't need a heter aguna. When you don't have a body, you need heter aguna. It's based upon circumstantial evidence. It's very difficult to say you're right 100% of the time. And 1 out of 100, 1 out of 1,000, you were wrong. But this being wrong is not being wrong. It's not like telling someone, all right, you ate fish on a dish that was fleishix. Big deal. It's not the end of the world. It's not like pasking a shayla of yantiv sheni, like I've said so many times. You can't be wrong and you can't be right. That's the reality. Here, this woman married again and had 3-4 children. Their mamzerim, her first husband, is still alive. And you all know there's stories of people who survived with miracles. Ready to go into the crematorium broke down, they put them back in the barracks. The next day he ran away, joined the partisans. Unbelievable stories. When I was in the rabbinate already, or right before, when I was already knowledgeable, maybe it's the mid-50s, so it was a story that made the rounds, a terrible story of this Jew from Brooklyn, a survivor, who made a little bit money, and the first thing he wanted to do was to visit Eretz Yisrael. In those days, when you came to Eretz Yisrael, from Jew, the first place you went to was Bnei Brak. Jerusalem was a border city, divided in half, there was nothing doing here. You came to Yerushalayim to go up to Har Tzion on Tisha B'Av, and from Har Tzion, they looked into the old city. But you went to Bnei Brak. Bnei Brak was Panovich, Bnei Brak was Vishnitz, Bnei Brak was the Chazon Ish. So this Jew goes to Bnei Brak, and he's walking the streets of Bnei Brak, and he meets his first wife. She had gotten a heter to remarry, and had 2 children. They were in Yeshiva Letzirim of Panovich, and he is her first husband. These kids are Chas v'chalila, mamzerim. So I heard rumors in America of what Rav Tzvi Pasek Frank did. He was the posek of Yerushalayim. He was a Gadol Hadar from the famous Frank family from Kovna. If you know that family, it's an unbelievable family. Gedolei Gedol Yisrael, his cousins were Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein, Rav Yisrael Zalman Meltzer, Rav Baruch Horowitz, the Al-Sata Rav, Rav Sheftel Kramer, New Haven, the father-in-law of Rav Yitzchak Yaakov Ruderman, Ne Yisrael. What a family. I can go on and on with Yichus. And I heard a rumor of what Rav Tzvi Pesach did. You should know, when I came to Israel in 69, Everyone asks me, it's a question, again, I've been asked the question, it's a foolish question, but everyone asks me, had you remained in America, well, would you have, you know, become something in learning? Absolutely not. Had I remained in America, I'd be like anyone else. I'd say Shurim and Nushim, Nezikin, that's it. But in Israel, I realized right away I'm never going to make a living, but I wanted at least I should know Kol HaTorah Kula. I haven't achieved it, I'm far from it, but I haven't stopped trying. So one of the first things I did, you should know, in 69-70, I interviewed everyone from Germany who knew the Rav in Hildesheimer. That's how I was able to give all these lectures on Rebbe in Hildesheimer in Germany. Then I looked around, what did Rav Tzvi Pesach do? And I got hold of a very important Jew, who ran the Heichal Shlomo, Rav Pechenik, and he wrote me a letter, which many Dayanim have asked me for, I've made copies, where he says, Eidut Nemana, what Rav Tzvi Pesach did. Rav Tzvi Pesach did. It's based upon, and I can't go into all the details because it would take weeks. It's not for now. I did it years ago. But where Rav Tzvi, and I wrote about it, by the way, I published an article on this in Tradition, and it appears in Rekha Fedarim. What Rav Tzvi Pesach did, it's based upon the tshuva of the Masham Shvadron, who was the first one to propose this. It's based upon a tshuva of Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Halevi Herzog, an unfinished tshuva, where he deals with it, with a terrible problem out of Petach Tikva with Yemenite women. And what he did, it's the Gemara in Gittin, the Sugya, Daf Lamed Gimel, Lamed Bet, Lamed Gimel, the Mishnah, the Gemara. He took the second husband. Excuse me, the first husband. And he had the first husband give her again al yedei shaliach. And he sends the shliach away, and he has the shliach be, and he, when the shliach is gone away now, as if to give it to his wife, his previous wife, a get from her first husband, to the wife, al yedei shliach, the first husband is mevatel the get in front of one person. If you're mevatel the get in front of one person, no, what does the Gemara say? Hafkat kedushin. This is one of the famous cases that the Rabbanim are angry at him for doing something so sinister, and they punish him by retroactively annulling the marriage.
Don't you need
and that
eight?
Way, that way, they're two eidim on the get, but he's mevatel the get in front of one person. And that bitul haget, because he does it in front of one, which is against, you have to do it in front of more than one, so people should know the get is no longer valid. One does not create ra'ash, kol, knowledge. So the Gemara says, we'll teach him a lesson. There was never a marriage. The money you gave her is hefka. How can Beitin make it hefka? Hefka, Beitin, hefka. If you gave her a shtar, the shtar is hefka. You have to give her something worth something. And if you marry her through bia, the biat shavyunin rabbanin lebilato bilatsnut. That was not in sexual relations for the sake of marriage, but for the sake of harlotry. Look up the sugya, you'll see what I'm talking about. It's a well-known sugya. And on that basis, she was never married to the first husband. It's retroactively annulled. It's an open gemara.
Hold on. How can you do that?
How can you do what?
With two eidim, is the first marriage was legit?
Look up the Gemara and you will see the that's why you say under the chuppah rat mukudeshet li betabatzu kedat Moshe the Yisrael. It's the Gemara. Exactly. The Edom are dependent upon what that Moshe the Yisrael has to say. It's an open Gemara. It's the Sugya Herbie. And because he gave a get and was al yedei shliach and was mavatlan in front of one and he did all this, we're going to teach him a lesson and there's Hafkat Kedushin L'Mafreya, and the Gemara asks, how can you be Mafkir Kedushin? Hefka Beitin Hefka, the Biyot HaBiyot Snot. So Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank did this. And therefore, the first marriage disappears. Whatever children survived from the first marriage, I don't know if any survived, may have been killed by Hitler, they're not illegitimate, they're not mamzerim. They're born out of wedlock. In halacha, born out of wedlock is not a bastard. It's not a mamzer, you have to understand that. Mamzer is only a shadish, or a chiyuv karet, it could be, or chayuv mitat beitin, adultery. My dear students, the second marriage is good, the children are not mamzerim. Now, Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank never published this tshuva. You go to the Har Tzvi, you will not find it. They asked Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank, and I ascertained that this is absolutely correct, what I heard in America. They said, Rebbe, what you did is so important. It can be precedent-making. The Masham already suggested it. Rav Herzog wrote about it based on the Masham. That's Rav Shvatin, who's Zhana Rav, Gadol Sheb Gedolim. Why don't you publish it? Why don't you write it up? And Rav Tzvi Pesach gave the classic answer, Ich will nicht die Kinder abm Gas. So, wir kritisieren. And I won't translate it literally. I'll explain it to you very simply. We're living in a world where Amharatzot Chogeget. The average from Jew is an ignoramus. It's part of modern life. People can have beards and payas and dress in black and wear big kippot and kippot big singot and big this and Barcelona's, whatever. Excuse me?
Uniforms.
It can be uniforms, not uniforms, but it's money and they have that. Doesn't mean they know how to learn. And what C. Pastor Frank was saying, the average yeshiva boy would go crazy criticizing him. What did he do? It's a das yochid, it's a favofen a gemara. How does he take such a chriot? And that's exactly what he said. I don't want the kids on the street to criticize. They don't want to. They will not understand what this is all about. They don't understand the sources. They don't understand the psak. They don't understand the subjectivity involved. And this is a classic example of what the Shach says. Umitam zem timsa b'yesu mekomot b'shas b'poskim dvarim ha'stotrim leklalim elu. Hu mipnei sheyesham eizet sad otam acher. And this is exactly correct. At times you have a posek and he'll act independently, although within the context of Shas and Paiskim, where you can't be Mekil, you can't be Mekil. But you see in Reb Moshe, time and again, with all the mamzeret questions he got, he always tried lahakel. And sometimes he had to take shita to chuyad or come up with svarot that were a little off the beaten path. I know there's one tshuva Reb Moshe where he's dealing with a ketuv, he's dealing with a wedding, and the woman, whoever, with the remarriage, and she can't get a get. And was she really married the first time? Or he's dealing already with the children from the second marriage. And one of the tzadim he brings down as a kula, and as I recall, it was a wedding in Newark, and the edim signed in English, not in Hebrew. The fact that the edim signed in English would indicate that they're not Shomer Shabbos. 99% of the time, even a Jew in America, no Jews lived in Teaneck then, but even a Jew in Newark in the 1930s, if he signed the Ktuvah as Gevena Shemesh Shabbos, he knew how to sign in Hebrew. If he signed in English, I can give you another example. Gedolei HaPoskim, when there was a terrible shaila with a Kohen, happened to be a Talmud of mine. Talmud of mine, nice fellow, nice young man at the time. Today he's practically my age, but it took him a long time to find a wife. Some people are 21, 22, they have a girlfriend, they get married, I hope they work it out. Some people 32, 33, they're still searching. I just called the Talmud this morning, who's come up twice your age already and still not married. And I proposed something to him. You'll see later what I proposed. It's in Makor Rishon. And one second, what was my trend of thought?
The English signing. So that was a proof that they
were not Shomer Shabbos. So my Talmud took him a long time to find a wife, and he finally is going with a girl, and a terrible problem arises. He's a Kohen, and she was married once before, a marriage that didn't last long. Stern College graduate. So I can tell you the Rabbanim sat together. I don't want to mention names. You know some of these Rabbanim, they should live and be well. And they watched the video of her first wedding. Do you know why they watched the video of the first wedding? To see if anything was wrong. If the ring was given properly, if the witnesses saw the lashon that he said, they were looking desperately to find something wrong, and then perhaps they could find a way out to declare that she didn't really need a get, and she's not a grusha.
Were the children?
No, they were married a very short time.
So would it be...
One second. Please hold off. You know what they finally found? It's unbelievable. They found that the two Eidim, the rabbi who officiated, who was her teacher in Stern College, and she was very close to him, and she was a bala tshuva, and he played a big role in her life. He said to the Chatan Vakala when he met with them before, you know, the wedding, each one of you should pick one person to be an aide. So they each picked a person. She picked someone whom she rented part of an apartment from him. He was a survivor. And it turned out that this is a concept that we don't have today. Skevena Yiddish Mensch, but a survivor. Traditional. He rode the bus to shul on Shabbos. So they said, one of the Eidim was a Mechalel Shabbos. And if that's the case, they were not married. Now this story turns into a novel. They go to Rabbi Avadah Yosef. It's the last time Rabbi Avadah would handle a case like this in America. He got so burned, you'll see why. So they go to Rabbi Avadah, they tell him the story. And there are many achronim who deal with this, a Kohen, and she did get a get, but the get was not really required. It's a home achlokes ha-paiskim, it was a get that was not needed, maybe she's not a grusha. So Rav Avadah innocently asks, how could the rabbi allow a wedding like this with an aid that wasn't shomer mitzvah? So someone told Rav Avadah, or Rav Avadah got the impression that the Masada Kedushin was a reform rabbi. The Masada Kedushin happened to be president of the Rabbinical Council of America, a Rebbe at Stern College, rabbi of a very important kehila. So Rav Avadah said, a reform rabbi, he already had a lot more than an aid of Mechalel Shabbos, but the aid was Mechalel Shabbos. They permitted the marriage. You don't know what a storm broke out over this psak. The saddest part is, the marriage didn't even last a year. broke up. Subsequently, that student remarried, and thank God, happily ever after. But you see, they looked, this is psak. And this answers Yitzchak Rubin's question of a few weeks ago. If this is the case, why not depend upon a psak of Ploni Almoni? And chas v'chalila, psak, you have to be such a Yirei Shamayim. You have to have such an overwhelming sense of Yirat Shamayim that b'dieved, if you're going to paskin in a very difficult case, we have to be sure yesh almi l'smoch. But this is the Shach. This is Reb Moshe. This is Reb Ovadia. Now, what did you want to ask, Yitzchak? That a rabbi lachatchila should be mesarek kedushin in an induf. The microphone, why do we have these problems? Do me a favor, turn it off and turn it on again.
A rabbi that both of us know told me
that he
purposely makes a mistake, quote unquote, at every wedding, so that if, God forbid, there should be a need in the future, they could have no problem as far as...
Okay, so I'll tell you. If we start doing things like this, the word will get out. And you'll have men already cheating on their wives, women cheating on their husbands.
Nobody has to say a word.
No, you can't keep this a secret. But I'll quote to you the English of the New York Times, an open marriage. God have mercy on us. As is the concept of marriage and sacredness and responsibility and fidelity is under such attack on all sides. If chas v'chalila, the word will go out that the rabbanim masadik addition on purpose and bring an aid of machalo Shabbos, so later on you can dance away, we have broken down the sanctity of marriage. Now, the problems are real, but I'd rather have a problem 1 out of 100 than 99 out of 100. V'dalech hakima berimisa. Now, the same thing came up now with the tremendous question of the plastic bag over the Kohen. So I have to say, it intrigued me, and we have a Kohen in the class, and we did our research, I'll put it that way, we did our research, we came up with sources. I have to thank my Talmud, Rabbi Yoshua Grinstein, who fed me some contemporary sources, but I'm proud that immediately I showed you the Tshuva of Moshe, Ovel Zaruk, that's the start of it, and this volume that Taniel has, Cohen's Handbook. But this is like a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. He's always machmir, and he tells you if you're not satisfied, then ask your rabbi. But there are no sources in here. He doesn't go into depth. What's interesting in the book, and I have to tell you, I had a good laugh, Baruch Shekivanti, there's one picture in here. If you walk next to Ocean Parkway in Flatbush, if you're walking away from Borough Park towards Brighton Beach, if you get the direction, on the right-hand side is a very big old Jewish cemetery. Now, there are a number of streets that cut through the cemetery. I'm walking there with Malka, and I say to Malka, a Kohen can't walk here. There are trees all over. That half the tree is on top of the cemetery, tombstones, and the other half is on the walk where you're walking, on the sidewalk. And in the book, there's a picture that Kohenim can't walk on those parts around Ocean Parkway. So I want to tell you, Baruch Shekivanti, that I said it, you know, I couldn't believe it, that in Brooklyn, these are major arteries, Kohenim can't walk here. And Enoch Inami, he says it.
Well, now, this thing with the airplane.
So
how it makes us look?
So what you're saying is that there has to be a factor here, number one, of Darchei Darchei Noam, which is a tribute of the Radbaz. But you can put together, in my humble opinion, there's so many sheet that you can put together, Lahakel. First of all, it only applies basically to Jewish cemeteries, not to Gentiles. So it's only a question leaving Israel at certain hours or coming into Israel. It's mainly a question with flights to Europe, not with flights to the United States. But there are problems at times. It depends on the hours. The book is interesting. It fills you in on the hours when there is or isn't. Or maybe it's not in the book. Maybe it's in the later tshuva I saw. But Reb Moshe already, and you can ask Nathaniel. I don't want to bother you for all the sources, but I made copies for Nathaniel. Reb Moshe already discusses aluminum. Is aluminum considered one of the metals that become tamei? Aluminum is not mentioned in the Torah. It's not mentioned in the Torah. Could very well be it doesn't become tamei. The airplane basically is 75% aluminum. Not only that, it's the main, it's the Dava Hamamid. Those of you that are learning here a day, you know what I mean. So that becomes a factor too. Then there's the whole question of Ohel Zaruk. Is an Ohel flying by considered a Chatzitza? Yes or no? It's a Machlokes Rishonim. Most Rishonim Paskin that isn't a Chatzitza, the Rambam. But there are some Rishonim who Paskin it is. If that's the case, then there's no Shiloh whatsoever, or Ohel Zarek. So you see, normally you wouldn't be Samach on that Shita. But here, in an emergency like this, where you have the world looking at us, and I understand that television in England picked up that picture, and you can imagine what's going on, you have another viewpoint, you can be Samach on. Then there's Samit Patil, the fact that a plane is sealed. I mean, there's so many factors here. It seems Reb Heschel Schachter deals with this in Be'ikvei Hatzon, and he comes up with another factor which many don't want to accept, that even if we say Chatuma Bokat Vola, but there has to be a limit how far up it goes, etc., etc. Now, as a result of the Shiloh that came up, there are two contemporary talks on the YU website, one from Rabbi Aya Leibowitz, one from Rabbi Moshe Paragin. Very fascinating. And Rabbi Danny Wolf of the Gush, a number of years ago evidently, already dealt with this topic in great detail, putting together all the shikat and all the viewpoints. But once again, you see the shach. This is a question where our gut reaction has to be, and the Rav used to speak about this, that sometimes our gut reaction is we have to be mekil, but then we have to see whether we can draw up a halachic framework by which to be mekil. And here I think there's enough to go by that we can ultimately be mekil on the Shiloh, and Kohanim can fly b'menuchat ha-nefesh. There are other problems with the whole question of the bodies, the coffins that are carried on every airplane. And here, El Al has solved the problem. I don't know about other airlines, but they keep it in sealed doors. There might even be a double door, but they have it arranged in a way, and the bodies never come out those doors. They come out through the luggage part, through the bottom, the other part of the plane. So aim so fatuma latseitkan. So there are many factors that help in being mekel. Okay, so that takes care of the shot. David, you with me? And David, am I right? I have David Schwartz, right? Because I haven't seen you for a while. I have to remember the name. Actually, your name, David Schwartz, I spoke about it last week. How did I speak about it last week? Because the boys asked me about the Rabbi Broid. So, all right, it's sad. But he's a genius. What he did is like the Maral built the golem. He constructed a golem, I mean, plain and simple. And I'm looking forward. Rabbi Heschel Goldwasser should walk into this class, be an interesting experiment. But I told the boys, I once did a naughty thing. Years ago, I didn't like to lecture during the summer. And I used to be mad at the Jewish agency. They bring in these tours from America for 3 weeks, and they give them the best Israeli teachers. And one year, the agency's pressing me, I must lecture. And I saw I couldn't get out of it. So I told them, fine, I'll lecture, but only on condition you don't use my name. So I said, they got to use the name. I said, fine, Harav Dr. Yitzchak Shachar. Got me? And I went into lecture, they introduced me, Harav, Dr. Yitzchak Shachar, gave the whole lecture, everyone thanked the Rabbi Shachar. I walked out, and no one knew the difference. But the truth is that Yitzchak Shachar is really me. Yitzchak is my, Aaron Yitzchak, it's my middle name. When I went to college, I had a professor Brody, Alexander Brody. Rabbi Rubin will certify. He was a very interesting guy. So I had him for 2 years. The first time he takes attendance, I'm sitting next to my good friend. We're in high school. The college, we're still friendly until today. Also, he's a very well-known professor in his field. Jonas Prager from Washington Heights, a Yekka. Johnny. So Johnny was redhead and I was dark hair, brunette, whatever you call it. So Professor Brody takes attendance, gets to Rothkopf. Rothkopf! You're not Rothkopf, Schwarzkopf, black hair, gets to Prager, you're Rothkopf. For 2 years he took attendance. Schwarzkopf, present, we didn't want to correct, we wanted to get our raise, you know, who wants to argue with a professor? Rothkopf, Prager, here. So Yitzchak Shachar is Yitzchak Schwartz, so all right, I didn't really lie, it wasn't Goldwasser, but all right, I once did a naughty thing too. Gentlemen, we have arrived. Gemara Avodah Zarah, Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. And the Gemara deals with the whole problem of Psak. How do you paskin? And the Gemara says very simply in these few words, guide us until this very moment, are responsible for billions of words written in halacha. Why? Very simple. The Gemara says, "B'shel Torah halech acharei hamachmir, b'shel sofrim halech acharei hamekel." When it's a suffek in a din Torah, you have to be machmir. Can't play games. A suffek in a rabbinic law, divrei sofrim, which means sofrim ala tzaddikim ala chassidim ala tzaddikim ala chassidim v'yal pleitat sofreihim. What does sofra mean? The Gemara in Sota calls Moshe Rabbeinu safra rabba adi Yisrael. What does a sofra mean? A great Talmud Chacham. Doesn't mean a scribe. The original meaning means pleitat sofreihim. The great Rabbanim of yesteryear. Fine. Safek the Rabbanim, Lakuta. We paskin like the Mechilim. Now, why is this so important? All that has been written in response to literature, you can take all the Shailot you get. What you try to do is bring the question down to a rabbinic level. Once it's a rabbinic question, you can look for leniencies. And I'll come back to the very example I gave you. Person is lined up to go into the crematorium. Okay. Use common sense now. Common sense is the oraita. Look into Mishpat Avri. Look into Professor Menachem Alon's Mishpat Avri on common sense, on Svara. It's a deraita. What does it mean? Common sense. Rov. Hazaka. The majority of people lined up to go into the crematorium perished. The minute you can say that statement, you no longer have a suffix the oraita. Medioraita, the woman can remarry. Rove conquers all. He's not alive, he's dead. It's common sense. What are you, an idiot? He walked away. And the truth of the matter is that the oraita, we could mutter any agudna when she came up with one rove. Our problem is that the rabbis in Masechet Yevamot, there's a whole sugya kuf chaval, if you'll see the sugya Yevamot. Also, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Akiva, the ship capsized. I mentioned this to you. In any class in Pesach, you'll hear this Gemara quoted. The ship capsized, the families are sitting shiva for them, and in the middle of shiva, they knock on the door and they walk in alive. Ke pasa. What happened? What happened? And they tell the story. The boat capsized. They grabbed a piece of wood. They held on to the wood. They floated. Whenever a wave came, they let the wave pull them up. Then they went down, up, down, until they got to shore. Miracles happened. Jonah and the whale. Memoir literature out of the Holocaust. How many books have been written where people write of their miracle survival, miraculous survival? Miracles happen. And the Rabbanim said, we can't take chances. This is too serious. Mayim she'ein lachem sof. That's the rubric. If someone drowns in a little pool, you can testify they're dead. Why? Because you can see the whole pool. He went under an hour ago. He never came out. I can see all the surrounding parts of the pool. But if someone drowns in the Mediterranean, mayim she'ein lachem sof, you follow me, Moshe? That has no end, right? How can you testify? Maybe he came out a mile away. You didn't see. So the rabbis say we can no longer, in that case, the rabbis made an edict. One majority is not sufficient. You need a second majority. And all the responsa literature dealing with the Holocaust will always look for that second majority. Same thing with Mamzerut. A Safek Mamzer is Mutter D'Oraita. The Gemara in Asara Yuchsin. Lo Yavo Mamzer Bekala Lo'ova Mamzer Vadai. Lo Yavo Mamzer Bekal Vadai. Safek is Mutter. The Chachamim, Mishum Yuchsin, made it into, no, you need more. The Rabbanan, one suffix is still asa. Ah, but if you can supply more sveikat, then you can be matir. And that's the principle. Very important, very crucial. All the shaylat of modern times, technological shaylat, automatic elevator on Shabbos. Let's see what the problems are. More weight, the motor works harder. Coming down, more weight, you regenerate electricity. All right. And you get involved with all the rabbinic principles. Psik reshe. Psik reshe de lo nichale. Malach hashen etzricha legufa. Midasek. No, you put together rabbinic principles. This is no longer an Issa D'Oraita. No longer an Issa D'Oraita. Grumma. Just saw someone on Shabbos in a grumma cart. Coming back from shul. A lady who has lower leg and multiple sclerosis. Used to be in a wheelchair. A real fighter. My wife knows her. And how does that cart work on Shabbos? Had a Talmud on the coast. He just died, Lo Aleinu. I miss him very much. Avi Shafran, Zichrono Livracha, had a very hard life. Classmate of David Applebaum, Hashem Yikom Damo. Classmate, Yibadol Chaim Ruchin, the Talmud of Rabbi Yosef Halevi Soloveitchik. That class, Rebaron Soloveitchik's Talmudim. So he had a Shabbos mobile. He was crippled, couldn't walk. Diabetes, but a real classic case which affected him. He was legally blind, don't ask. And for years he was able to go to shul on Shabbos because of that mobile. It's the grammar principle. The microphone on Shabbos, the Tzomet microphone. Again, you take it out of a Nisa D'Oraita, you bring it into rabbinic problems, the minute you bring it into rabbinic problems, you can put sheet that together, you can be Mekel. And that's why that Gemara is so important the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Simply one line of Gemara, but one line that has impact on billions and billions of words that will later be written. Okay. Now again, you have to be a lamdan. You know, I don't want anyone, God forbid, to walk out and say, "Oh, if it's a din derabbanan, we could be mechas v'chalila." But if it's a din derabbanan, there are klalim b'makom salo v'asur rabbanan. Many klalim. You have to understand how it applies with a child. When do you rebuke a child? When don't you? Chinuch. You have to be able to differentiate. Suffolk d'oraita, the simplest example you'll ever give, and I'll show you later a source that's used. What if on Rosh Hashanah you forgot whether you heard shofar or not? You'd have to hear shofar again. Chiyuv d'oraita, suffolk d'oraita l'chumra. What about on Purim you forgot whether or not you heard Kriyat HaMegillah? Could very well be. You don't have to hear Kriyat Megillah again. Suffolk d'rabbanan l'kula. Simple example. But this is the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Now, let me introduce you to a very important section of the Rambam, because this part of the Rambam deals with the whole structure of Halacha. Hilchat Mamrim. What is Hilchat Mamrim? Hilchat Mamrim essentially is really about the Zaken Mamre. Who is the Zaken Mamre? A Zaken Mamre is someone who has smicha, who has ish mi pi ish, a Zaken. And he refuses to accept the psak of his chaverim.
He's an
apikoris. Well, he's worse than an apikoris. He's chayev mita. They execute him. We don't do it today, but there's an idea behind it. And this is very important for geniuses to know. A genius has to be part of Klal Yisrael. And there has to be dibuk chaverim. I don't want to go into detail, but some of you know that there were terrible sheilot in modern times where great rabbanim refused to join with the other rabbanim, and they were criticized. I don't want to mention names, but people flew off the handle and said at the time of Sanhedrin they would declare him a Zaken Mamre. And this is very important, because to be a Gadol b'Yisrael you have to be bright. To be bright, you live in a different world than the average Tom, Dick, and Harry. But you always have to understand you're not always right. There are other opinions. This is a hard message to learn. With all the respects to Rabbi Reuben, I learned it in my first rabbinate, on Makke Taiva. At the time, I got killed, I admit it. But I learned a lesson. There are other opinions out there. You can be smart and you can be bright and you can cite sources, but there are other opinions out there. We learned that from the Rav too. As great as the Rav was, there was a certain edelkeit that there are other opinions out there. It's important. Important to know. A Zaken Mamre? Wow. No. In order to establish who is a Zaken Mamre, who rebels. Mamre means to rebel. He's rebelling against tradition, against Torah Shabbal Peh. Against his colleagues.
Rav Meir's teacher.
Elisha ben Avuya.
Zaken Mamre.
Well, he was not a Zaken Mamre. He was an apikoris. I wouldn't call him a Zaken Mamre. Lehefech. He knew what the halacha was, but he just threw it all away. I can tell you a little story. Again, these are my shocking first moments in Israel. I'm walking up the hill with my best friend for many decades, Rabbi Dr. Professor Tzvi Groner, Zichrono Levracha. Groner, recognized the name. His uncle was Reb Leibel, the Rebbe's right hand, should live and be well. He's from that family. He's an enikel of the Alter Rebbe. So walking up the hill to take a haircut, it's between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. We're going to the barber, Rechob Aza. And coming out of the barber is someone I didn't know, but he embraces him. They taught Professor Zussman from Hebrew U. And when Zussman walks away, Tzvi says to me, Arnie, you know who that is? Professor Zussman. I said, he's me in Talmud. Talmud? He knows Bavli and Yerushalmi by heart. He's a direct descendant of the Chatam Sofer. You can check it out in books on, you'll see the Zussman family comes to the front. And then Tzvi pauses and says, by the way, he eats on Yom Kippur. He doesn't fast on Yom Kippur. Ad kidei kach is rebellion. So what do you call him? A zaken mamre or an apikoros? To learn? He could probably, I wouldn't go to him for a psak because I don't trust him.
What's the
difference
between apikoros and a zaken mamre?
A zaken mamre is someone who has smich ish mi pi ish, a member of Sanhedrin.
Absolutely.
But he paskins against what the Beitin decided. Okay? As an apikoros just doesn't believe. You want to, Louis Ginsberg, you read his biblical criticism, he's an apikoros, at least at one stage in his life when he believed in it. But the paskin, he knew how to paskin. If you were a nice conservative Jew and you believed in the conservative halakha, you went to Louis Ginsberg. Okay? Mordechai Kaplan didn't know how to paskin. He couldn't be a zaken mamre, but Louis Ginsberg knew how to learn. But
he could qualify for an apikoros.
Mordechai Kaplan was an apikoros. No, you saw in class last week, if you read further in Schleffer's thing, he goes on and on to show differences between the Bible and science today. Idiot! You should have yelled at him. Nitin, what do you want to talk about? Talk about computers, talk about automobiles, talk about radios, gramophones at that time. Torah is given at a certain time. That's why there's a Torah Shabbat path. Amazing. But what bothers me is how Schleffer could have gone through MTA and his rebbeim didn't prepare him for an encounter like this. Shows you the Rebbeisha Rabbanim didn't know what's going on in America. I would like to believe that today you come out of MTA, you win the Bible contest in Israel, and you're prepared for any type of question on Mesorah and Kabbalah. You follow me? You know what I mean. Win the Bible contest. Kala Kabbalah to MTA. That boy was from Passaic. Eisenberg, what was his name? Anyone pick it up? Eisenberg? Am I daydreaming or am I right? I don't know.
Eisenberg is the last name.
Eisenberg, Baruch Hashem. My memory is still working. Herbie, Hilchot Mamrim, the Rambam, very, very important. I'll give you the source in a minute, but you can go through the whole first parak. So the Rambam describes this based upon a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Pechet. If you're familiar with the Gemara, it's an entire page. It's Pechet Amid Bet. So I remember that Gemara well. I learned it with the Rav. So he goes through the Gemara, Pechet Amid Bet, and what happens? Shaila comes up. So Shaila comes up, you ask your rabbi. Your rabbi doesn't know, you go to the local Beit Din. The local Beit Din doesn't know, they go to the Sanhedrin, the nearest Beit Din Hagadol. It's not that, or the nearest Beit Din of Chaf Gimel. They don't know. You go to the Harabayat where there were three Batei Dinim till you reach the ultimate Beit Din of Ayin Aleph. And either they have a tradition, and if they don't have a tradition, Omdin Leminyan. They take a vote. And what they decide, Acharei Rabim Lahatot, that obligates every last Jew. And there was never machloket at that time. But what do? That's when we have a formal Beit and a formal structure. Today you don't have a formal Beit, you don't have a formal structure. Look what's going on in the battle for the chief rabbinate. Look how many names are popping up. Look what's going on, Charedim and Datim Lumim, and the Datim Lumim are split between the Datim Lumim and the Chadalim, the Charedim Datim Lumim. Tremendous battle. And then they'll even choose a chief rabbinate. No, not everyone will accept the chief rabbinate. Right or wrong? For 1,001 different reasons. transfer this to the United States of America, which is the second largest Orthodox community in the world. Who are your poskim? Who do you follow? Who has authority? RCA, Igud HaRabbanim, Agudat HaRabbanim. These, what does Satmar call themselves? The central organization, his Chachdut HaRabbanim, I think they call themselves. Who has authority? But you see, we live in a world today that is totally flux. There is no formal central authority. No one has a real smicha today. Ish mi pi ish, the real smicha, the original smicha. What we have is not really smicha. What we have is heta hara. It gives us the right to paskin a shayla. Our Rebbe gave us the right to paskin a shayla. That's all we have. But we don't have the real smicha. We can't be members of Sanhedrin. Everyone yells, reestablish the Sanhedrin. Take a look at what's required, the criteria. How many of us know 70 languages? Rav Herzog could have been on a Sanhedrin. Fine.
In the time of Ezra, the guy used 70 languages?
Yeah, that's what's required. But I would quote the Rav. It means they had the ability to comprehend. If they did a little research, prepared words, concerned. The Lubavitcher Rebbe knew 8, 9 languages. Well, once you know 8, 9, you can basically master more languages if you have to. But to be a member of Sanhedrin, mathematics, astronomy, we'd have a hard time today. I have friends. I have the wife. One guy was a Chaim Berlin fellow, a nice fellow from Rehovot. His dream was to establish a Sanhedrin here. I haven't heard from him in years. I hope he's well. I hope he's functioning. But he was a real interesting individual. There's a basement that calls themselves Sanhedrin here. So what do you do? What do you do? There's no central authority. So look into Hilchot Mamrim, Perik Aleph Halacha Hey. Crucial psak. Shnei Chachamim. O Shnei Batei Dinim. Shenitchalku Shelo Bizman HaSanhedrin. O Ad Shelo Higia Hadavah Lahen Bein Bizman Echad Bein Bizeh Achazeh. Echad mitamei ve'echad mitaher, echad oseh ve'echad matir. What do you do? Machloken. And we have endless machloken, and that's what the Rambam says in his Hakdama to Mishneh Torah, that after the closing of the Gemara, when Hiskim Aleihem Kol Yisrael, we have endless machloken. We shine him. The Rosh, the Rashba, the Ritba, the Rimigash, the Rambam, the Rif, Achronim. You all know how much machloket we have. What do we do? And the Rambam says, "Im ein ata yodea laheichen hadin noter, if you do not know how to paskin, you do not know which way the law is moving. B'shel Torah haleich acharei hamachmir, u'b'shel divrei sofrim haleich acharei hamekil." And that's exactly the Gemara in Avodah Zarah put into halachic terminology. Safek de'oraita lechumra. Suffolk the Rabbanan Lakula. That's the Rambam, that's the Psak, that's the concept, that's the outline, and that's why Rakefet says so many times, and it's not being said flippantly, but when a Rav gets a Shaila on Yontif Sheni, you don't shake, you don't shiver. You're dealing with a Din de Rabbanan. When you get a shayla of agunat or mamzerut, you can't eat till you've researched, start to think, and then you have to go to Rav Ovadia Yosef or some other great posek, present your conclusions, and see what they have to say.
Even at this stage, when the man is 93 years old, and you don't know if he's got dementia?
One second, he does not have.
Herbie.
Wait a minute. 93.
So what?
If we reach it, we'll probably have dementia.
Herbie. Relax yourself. I use Rav Ovadia Yosef as a generic example.
Oh, okay.
Better?
But now he does not have dementia.
No, I don't think in learning. I think, listen, Rav, no, he doesn't have dementia. But that's Rav Ovadia. Fellas, you can't make your peace with the fact that he says it as he understands that he shoots from the hip. And that, when you grow older, that's not good. That's good a kid. But when you have worldwide responsibility, you can't say certain things. You know, and I always tell the story when Reb Heschel was at the Hakotel years ago, and they asked him about giving back Jerusalem, and he said very flippantly, shoot the Prime Minister. I don't have to tell you what happened. So my grandson was the head madrich at Hakotel then. So my grandson sees I'm very upset. So he says to me, Saba, why are you so upset? You think exactly the same way. I said to him, Roey, listen to me. That I agree not to give back Yerushalayim, that I'm a right winger, that I'm very unhappy with Olmert, you're absolutely right. But you can't shoot another Jew. Look what Yigal Amir did to us. And that you can't say. Because if we stopped shooting one Jews, there'd be no Jew left. The Arabs, if they were smart, they just let us fight with each other. My father's kind of lucky to say this. And then, with the last Jew standing with the gun, he'll close the door of the state, the Arabs will walk in. You can't, God forbid. And there are other opinions. Are you certain that you're right? But more than that, that's my other part. That's why Chazal was so smart. They told us to have a 19th bracha. La malshinim al titikva. You mad at someone? So say the bracha with kavana. That's all. You know I kept it spot. That I dab. You know things are bad in Israel when the main bracha I concentrated on was la malshinim al titikva. Okay, that's the part. And you, God forbid. So you can't. You have to have responsibility. And I hope my grandson got the lesson. Lately, he's grown up. I see him with Derek Heretz and Baruch Hashem. He talks with his grandfather and listens. Kanayin hara. Okay.
You know, there is something wrong that the media. They're looking.
Yeah, but that's
and
what
Herschel Schechter makes a mistake and says something.
Right, and they jump on it. Right. What happened in England? What happened in England is unfair because he said the word, used that word, but he said a minute later a black Muslim.
Why?
For a man of that stature to say such a thing? Publicly?
What did he say so terrible?
No, because
he did not mean it. In a
I understand way. You and I understand that, but the media
he
today.
Fox, okay. Not mean it in a bad
okay.
Way.
Now, 1 second.
I want to
leave you. I'll give you all the sources next week. But this is the way. No, Michael. Yeah, this is the way I approach Rav Ovadia. And look, during Shiva, he says to the Prime Minister, I lost my son, but I'm mourning more that you're drafting yeshiva boys into the army. And people ask me, did anyone ever deal with the Rambam? Did anyone ever open up Milchemet Mitzvah? I got the originals for you. I got a whole pile. If anyone wants, later you can take the original in color. I haven't heard anyone deal with it halachically. I just heard yelling, shouting, politics. What, am I the only one who knows that Rambam? Am I the only guy alive that knows the Gemara and Sota? Am I the only one who worked out the Sugya and Sota? And even my wisecrack that if we're from, we should get rid of every Mechal Shabbos from the army, doesn't apply. That's only Milchemet Rishut, not Milchemet Mitzvah. Open up the Rambam. Hilchot Malachim. But be it as it may, that's Israel, that's the politics, that's the reality, that's the difficulty, and it takes time to put on Hayadut Poshetet Tzura V'lo Veshet Tzura. And that's what we're going through.
Conventionally, with the Bazi, Kedat Moshe of Israel.
Right.
So if you say Kedat Moshe, that means Medawais. Israel, that was the Rabbi. So why can't the rabbis be Mafkia Kedushin?
No, mafkia kedushin in all four places in Shas is only where there was a get, but there was something the matter with the get. So what basically the rabbis are doing, they're creating an instrument to validate the get. That's what it amounts to. Go through the sugya, you'll see. To validate the get. And there's a whole machloket rishonim whether even this type of hafkat kedushin could be used after the Talmud. It's zelo pashut. You take the Rashba, he contradicts himself. We'll never know what his real opinion was because he doesn't date his tshuva.
So but, if they could find that a man had edim who were b'chal shabbos,
right, you have something to build on.
Then you can build...
Right. That's exactly why they were looking at the videos and exactly why they checked it out. Okay, but let me leave you with one tremendous question. Everything I've said is sensible, it seems. Is it really? Tell me. Adin derabbanan. The Gemara in Bamin Matlikin in Shabbos. How can you make a bracha? Ashek yidashanu b'mitzvot tovitz yivonu v'ad liknei shal chanukah. Ashek yidashanu b'mitzvot. What does the Gemara say? The rabbis have the right. Midio right, the lotasur, you have to listen to everything the rabbis tell you. If you have to listen to everything the rabbis tell you, then in every derabbanan, there is also a dioraita. How can you say, safeg derabbanan lekula? Gentlemen, the next year will be invaluable for you the rest of your lives because there's going to be so much fascinating makshava that you'll be able to use in the rabbinate as machanchim, fabulous material.
So you're doing, like on the Sunday matinees when we were children, you'd go and they'd show you
coming attractions.
And then they would show you a serial. Next week will be the continuation.
Right. That's what I'm doing. So you'll have tomorrow, I have to tell you, is a unique shiur on Harry Fischel. It's going to be the heart of the shiur. And believe me, the man deserves what we're going to say tomorrow. But let's reiterate today, then I have a number of things I want to give out. First of all, Nathaniel, take back the book. I'll give out in a second. What do we do today? We finished up the Kuntres, the Shach. The heart of the shiur was taking a sheet of the Chuya. And that's very able, very adin, very sensitive in English. Because you have to know what you're doing. And you have to be Yerushalmayim. But the example I gave you with a three Pesach front is a fabulous example. And that example, you see, he saved the lives of these children. Now with Mamzeret, there's an additional factor. Kivin de Nitma'ah, Nitma'ah. So you should never forget that. That once they're accepted and they intermingle with Klal Yisrael, you accept the fact that they are part of Klal Yisrael. And the Rambam Paskins in Hilchot Melachim, that even be a Mota Mashiach, he will not mention who are Mamzerim. He'll tell you who's a Kohen Levi Yisrael, but not who are Mamzerim.
This is one of the only halachas that when you know for a fact,
you're supposed to keep your mouth shut. All right, that's a whole machlekes apoiskim. I mean, if two people know, but there are opinions that even if two people know Eidat Nemana, they have to keep their mouth shut. Now, gentlemen, I xeroxed additional copies. This is the RCA, Thursday evening, May 2nd at 7:30 p.m. is having a tribute to the Rav in the OU Center. Two of the great speakers of the evening are sitting right here in the class. Rabbi Yitzchak Rubin and Rabbi Yitzchak Shachar. So if you want a copy of that. Now, next, this is for Yitzchak. This is the Vatorah from Sam Dershowitz. Now,
how do you relate to Alan Dershowitz?
First cousin, second cousin. If anyone wants the information on the Kohen, this is all the information. You have this already. If anyone wants beyond, you're welcome. If anyone wants the Lima Torah Vasherut Tzva'i, that's the original. Now, this is very fascinating. In this week's Olam Katan, there's a big article on why Rabbi Ariel should be the Rav HaRashi, and it comes out against Rabbi Stav. It's everyone's looking for this. I have two copies. You're welcome to it. I have two copies of the first section of Makor Rishon. Anyone who's going to be a Rav, there's a whole article on the first page, on the last page. Well, 1 second, Yitz. On a woman who got up in shul after davening a week ago Shabbos, I know the shul, in Katamon, 32 years old, I believe. Nice looking woman, established, a nice job. And she says, why doesn't the Kehillah try to set me up? And you have to think about this. Read the article and read the back page. There are other articles of interest here, Makor Rishon. Finally, a gift from the world of the Eidah Haredit. Their Gaon in Kashrut, Rabbi Yaakov Bloy, died a few months ago, and they published very nice description of what he did in Kashrut, the Eidah Haredit, and how they worked, and Vibman Paskin, very interesting. Until we meet again in health and happiness at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. And Moshe, just be sure that the microphones are here. Das Vadanya. And to thy young student, welcome.
Thank you.
Who can be as handsome as that? Take a look. Blonde hair, youth, terrific. Da bachu, smach bachu b'yaldutecha, v'da sh'akol yavo b'cheshbon. Okay, yes. That's what they're going to tell him. Okay?
So if somebody doesn't have blonde hair, they're not handsome to you?
What can I tell you? Everyone loves a blonde.